guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
Konnichiwa, Mina-san. Coming to you over the internet, probably, it's Paranormal Hotline. The line is hot and things are not normal. Paranormal Hotline is a weekly podcast where we chat about the strange, spooky, bizarre, weird and wonderful. I am joined by my co-host, Kaylee. Kaylee, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Has anything spooky happened to you since we last chatted?
No, not really. No, nothing really spooky. I woke up the other day in the middle of the night because I thought I could smell smoke. And I like woke up in a panic, like the house was burning down, and like got up and checked and everything was fine. There was no smoke. And that kind of freaked me out a bit. Not really paranormal,
smoke demon in your dream.
Yeah, I was thinking afterwards. I was like, did I dream about the smell of smoke? And then I got kind of weirded out that I could dream about smells for a while. that's not really paranormal.
I was about to just ask you, do you ever dream with smells? Like, because
not really.
Now that you mention it,
but
I'm
probably
never...
like in my dreams, I'm sure I've been around like food or whatever and gone, that smells like bacon. But like, you don't ever think about it. It's just the fact that it woke me up.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. It's bizarre.
Yeah,
that is definitely weird.
Yeah, no, not really paranormal, but it's just weird.
No, you just reminded me of this dream that I had. This probably ties in because whatever. I
if you're about to tell me the most paranormal story, aren't you? And I'm gonna go, why have you never mentioned that before?
No, this is a dream I had the other morning.
Okay.
Where whatever, I think I've been watching a samurai movie, so it was like cool, and I was watching from the point of view of a samurai. It wasn't me, but it was through his point of view.
Okay.
But you know, whatever. I accepted that I was, you know, if I was in a movie, that's me, you know, that's my character.
Okay.
But it was all real in the dream. And let me tell you, stabbing someone is a weird experience when you believe it to be completely true.
Jesus Christ, dude.
In a very vivid dream.
That's fucked up, dude.
Yep.
Sorry, you did just also remind me of a dream that I had a little while ago where I was falling in my dream. I was like just falling from the sky. And at first I was like, I'm falling. But then like at some point in my brain, I was like, wait, no, this is just a video game and there's no fall damage. So I fell down, hit the ground, and then just stood back up again and walked off.
Wow.
And I think it's the first time in a dream I've ever hit the ground.
That's, I think that, like, you know, that's borderline lucid dreaming at that point.
Yeah, it kind of, yeah, probably was something along those lines. But yeah.
You didn't like control alt delete and get like the
commands,
the developer console.
Yeah, no, I didn't. But
it's wild if you ever do.
I'm not the kind of person who could lucid dream well enough to do that. I'm not on your level, Oisin.
I only done it once. Aside from all that you just reminded me, I have nothing special. And you could be argued that wasn't special to begin with. I've just been doing lots of planning, packing, because for the better part of next month, I'm headed to Japan. Don't worry, you guys, listeners. We do have episodes lined up and recorded, so you won't have any interruption to your scheduled broadcasts. You won't even notice, except for when I point it out, which I probably will, because I'm a bit excited about the whole thing.
Woo!
In that line of thing, that way of the go, this week, I have some Japanese stories, legends, because that's all part of your holiday planning. You know, I'm seeing if I'm going to be near anything that's cursed, because I'm trying to dodge that curse. Let's drop in on the curse, little update. Time of recording this and before I head off, Oisin has not experienced any trouble that could be attributed to the Japanese curse that he placed on himself in an earlier episode.
I think you should read the poem again just to double down on it.
Just read it in the original Japanese, just to seal the deal.
It's a long poem.
No, we're not going to do that.
Damn. You don't want to have a bit, the curse nice and fresh before you get to Japan?
No, I'm okay, actually, you know. If it forgets about me, I'd really appreciate that. also, you know, I don't believe in curses, Kaylee.
Yeah, but you keep talking about it, so.
I do keep talking about it, yeah. That's how it'll get me.
Yeah.
If there's no episodes from me after April of 2024, it got me.
I'll update, don't worry.
Okay, great.
I'll be on the Netflix documentary about you.
Just recreated footage.
Like, I kept telling them, let's read that cursed poem.
It's just a real shit cardboard cutout of me. Couldn't even afford a lookalike.
We can find a lookalike.
Oh my God. I feel sorry for the poor lad. I'm going to quickly apologize to my girlfriend for joking about the curse live on air. Touch wood, banish the demons. I'm going to be in the clear.
See, you're talking like somebody who believes in a curse, you know?
Not for me. No, that's not for me.
Oh, right, okay.
That's for everyone listening in.
Everyone.
Yeah. Also, some of the stories here and some of the ones that you're going to hear the next few weeks, she suggested them to me, so thanks. Anyway, from Japanese folklore and legend, let's get into today's stories. First off, I found a playmate for friend of the podcast, Robert the Doll.
Ooh.
We're fans of cursed and haunted dolls here.
I especially love Robert the Doll, though.
Robert the Doll is great. With his running around.
With him taunting the schoolboys.
Yeah. Somewhat related, though not really. There's a thing in Japanese folklore of Tsukumogami, which is like a tool or an object that has a spirit. There's a great diagram with loads of different like woodcuts of various examples of them. Essentially, if an object reaches its 100th birthday and it's been used and whatever, it has a spirit. It becomes alive and self-aware. So in terms of folklore, you know, it's not too huge a step for like spirits to enter objects, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also, you know, I have a box of old tools downstairs that have been used by like 3 generations of my family.
What are they used for?
Oh, carpentry.
Okay, okay. I thought you were going to be like IT.
No, yeah. Anyway, haunted doll time. Her name is Okiku, and I'm going to send you a picture of the doll. I want your thoughts on it immediately. So like on a scale of 1 to 10, not even 1 to 10, 1 to 11, how cursed do you think this is? Bing bong.
Oh my god. Okay, the first picture's like fine. Just looks like a Japanese doll. Then the second picture is haunting because you can kind of see the face a bit more.
Mm.
It looks like it's crying.
It's a great passport photo right there.
Yeah. That's what my passport photo looks like. It's terrifying. I want to give it a good 11 there.
It's a strong 11.
Picture gets 11. The first picture gets like a 5 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to, you know, describe it for the people... good people at home listening in.
It's like a traditional Japanese doll with a kimono, long black hair and a fringe, and its eyes look like they're crying. It's terrifying. It's really, really scary.
Yeah. So, yeah, it has a little porcelain face.
Yeah, porcelain. Well, I don't know what it's made out of, but I assume porcelain.
It looks like porcelain or carved wood. It's definitely old. It does have pain behind its eyes by the look of it.
Especially the way its mouth is like slightly agape.
Ah, I see. You're picking up on little features that'll they'll come into the story at some point.
God, I hope they don't.
This doll is kept in Manninji Temple in Hokkaido. That's where it ended up. And according to the story about it, how it got there, that goes, Eikichi Suzuki was visiting Sapporo in Hokkaido for an exhibition. The year was 1918. And when he was out traveling, he buys a doll, this doll, for his 2-year-old sister, Okiku. Important to note about the doll at this point, when he bought it, it had an okapa hairstyle, which is the classic like shoulder length bob that you'd imagine of a Japanese doll.
Yeah.
Now, you've seen the pictures. It has the fringe.
Yeah.
The rest of it's a bit longer. We'll get to it.
It's a lot longer.
Okiku, the girl, loved the doll. It sort of looked like her. She took it everywhere with her. The exhibition was in August, and then, tragically, the winter of next year, in January, she fell ill and died. The family was devastated, obviously, and they put the doll on like their household altar, and they'd pray to it. They noticed over time that the doll's hair had started to grow.
Oh, that's freaky.
Yes. So they thought that Okiku's spirit, restless, was now in the doll. So they hung on to it. Then they moved town in 1938. They entrusted the doll to Manninji Temple. And that's where it is to this day. The doll is now known as Okiku, named after its former owner. Some people believe that the hair continuing to grow is the hair of the kid.
Oh.
The pictures that I sent you were like they were taken by the temple.
Yeah.
Because they don't let people take pictures. Reading online, allegedly some samples had been sent out by the temple and they tested to be human child hair. Regarding the hair, I have no doubt that it is human hair.
Yeah.
I imagine dolls were made with human hair.
I have no idea. I would have assumed horse hair, but I don't really know Japanese dolls that well.
There's a few different stories of how it ended up in the temple. Some stories have it actually as the father bringing home the doll.
Right.
It's just a freaky looking doll. Some versions have it like, in this case, the family kept it. Some cases it's that they forgot to bury it with the girl.
Oh,
or
right.
Or that, as you know, you'd burn your possessions to have them in the afterlife sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were prevented from burning the doll because there was a law or rules on what you could burn.
Okay.
And a lot kind of like people have been talking online about why, you know, how could you explain the hair growing? So if it was like a short bob, if you can imagine, what they're saying is that the hair is going into the head and then it like loops around and comes back out.
Yeah.
If you can imagine the head being hollow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, so it's glued like that. So each length is actually twice as long as it is, but it's looped in the middle. So it's bent over.
That's a lot of hair though.
It is a lot of hair. So.
So what's the theory? They were like brushing it or something and it started coming out?
Yeah. So over time, basically the glue would break down. And if you were brushing the hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good theory.
Yeah.
But that's so much extra hair to have inside of the doll. I feel like it's very wasteful nearly.
Now, it might be that my thing is that it looks quite thick. So what they're saying is when you're brushing the hair, one end of it is being kind of retracted up, but then it's being pulled back out.
Oh, right. I
getcha.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like the head is full of hair. It's like each two hairs is actually one strand.
Yeah, I getcha. Okay.
Funny you mentioned the teeth, though, in the mouth, because some people believe that the mouth is slowly opening to show human teeth.
Oh my God. No. Somebody stop that doll.
Yeah.
Oh.
They also say, allegedly, the monks at the temple, one of them cuts the hair annually or semi-regularly anyway.
and it keeps growing,
you know.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm not sure if anyone's seen that. They've definitely not let people take pictures of that. But
yeah,
he might be contacted in his dreams as well to request that haircut. But I could only find one person saying that. I'm not entirely sure. So yeah, that's a nightmare fuel.
It's terrifying.
But it's not an evil doll. It's just spooky.
It's just really spooky, yeah. It's such a Japanese story, though, isn't it? They have a load of stories that kind of go like that.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, though, looking at the first picture you sent me and then the second one, the mouth is definitely more open in the second one.
Yeah.
It does just look like a different doll, though. It looks like its eyes are melting out.
It does look like a different doll.
I think we've solved it.
Is a monk just dressing her up in different kimonos?
Maybe. That's definitely a different kimono. So he's like doing her hair, changing her clothes, like actually playing with it like a doll.
Maybe, I don't know. The eyes are following me. I don't like that.
Yeah, the eyes do that because they're just completely... The eyes are completely blacked out, so there's no pupils. So it's just always looks like it's looking at you.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh. I'm going to just scroll away from that for a sec.
I like the little hair clips she has and everything. This guy's definitely doing this doll up.
Yeah.
I wonder what conditioner he uses. Hair's looking good.
Hair is looking good. Stories about haunted dolls came really popular in the 70s. So it's likely that is when this became sort of published.
Oh, right. Okay.
As to whether or not like the actual story of how it ended up there is true or false, I can't speak. It is a legend.
When you mentioned the mouth opening, I really thought you were going to say it spoke to people or something, because that's just what it looks like.
Oh, only in their dreams.
Yeah. Does it show up in the form of a doll in the dreams, though? Or is it in the form of the little girl?
Not sure.
These are the answers I need, Oisin.
The next stories, these last two, feature human sacrifice. But first, folks, if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We're an independent podcast, so we do all the research, writing, and editing ourselves, and our Patreon helps us keep up the cost of running a podcast every week. If you're listening each week and enjoying the podcast, consider supporting us. If you can't afford it, no worries. You can help us out for free by rating the podcast wherever you listen to it. So I said human sacrifice. This is a couple of stories relating to, not a tradition, but a thing that was done called Hirobashira, which literally translates to human pillar. So in the past, you know, 500 years ago or so, it was practiced in Japan as a form of human sacrifice. And it was kind of like, we're building a big building, we're doing a castle or a bridge. A lot of it was bridges. They would bury someone alive as a bit of a prayer.
What?
To keep it, you know, for safe building, you know, that the building would be safe or like, you know, the bridge would be safe.
That is wild. I feel like that's the perfect way to get your bridge cursed is by burying a person alive in it.
Well, see... Yeah.
I suppose like it's like a human sacrifice really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a human sacrifice.
Jesus Christ.
A lot of the time it could be voluntary as well.
Who wants to give up their life for a bridge?
We get there. Okay. I've a story about castles, not bridges, but like example of a bridge one would be like someone willingly going down under the water to hold you know, like a stake in place until it can be properly fastened.
Right.
And then just being built into it. But it was kind of seen as, in a degree, like a way of being closer to God as well.
Right. I suppose it's just different cultures, really, isn't it?
Yeah. But it also did cover, like, you know, people who died in the case of due to building accidents.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep, seal them in. It's okay. You know, the sacrifice is done.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have the time here or the scholarly knowledge to really get into all of the history of it, but I have a couple of stories. This legend is known as Oshizu Hirobashira. It relates to a place called Maruoka Castle. So when Shibata Katsutoyo was constructing a castle in Maruoka, the stone walls were like constantly collapsing. So one of his advisors came to him and said, let's do a human sacrifice. So there was a one-eyed woman living there in poverty, and she had two kids. She sort of volunteered. She was chosen as the Hirobashira on the condition that one of her children would be sort of elevated in class to a samurai. So Oshizu was then buried under the central pillar of the keep, the castle keep. And then the rest of the construction of the castle went grand. Katsutoyo, he moved province then, and the son was not given his samurai status, which is a shit one. And then, so in anger, Ushizu's spirit causes the moat to overflow with spring rain every April. And it was known as the rain caused by the tears of Ushizu's sorrow. And they made a small tomb there. They put it up just to pacify her spirit. And there was they had a poem that they passed down saying, "The rain which falls when the season of cutting alligator comes is the rain reminiscent of the tears of poor Oshizu's sorrow."
That's wild.
That is wild. Can you imagine, I'm building a castle, the walls are falling down, someone just goes, "Got it, human sacrifice time."
Yeah, that's ridiculous. There's a story like that we covered in Waterford, isn't there? When we were covering the Marquis of Waterford, we said that there was an old woman who wanted the Marquis to talk to her son. Or something like that.
Jesus.
And talk him out of something, or talk him into being a better man or something. And he just goes out and kills him.
Yeah,
it was a
difficult kid. Yeah, he hung him from the axle of a cart.
Yeah. And then their family were cursed by the old woman afterwards. So it's kind of a similar enough story.
It is. It is actually real sad because, self-sacrifice to try, help
better
out
your child.
Yeah, and then you don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad.
So the record of this next one, which is about Matsui Castle, was recorded, I suppose, to our part of the world by Lafcadio Hearn, who we've talked about before, because he had summers growing up in Tremor, which is a seaside town near where we live, which is really bizarre.
I remember this guy.
It's really bizarre.
It is really weird.
He was maybe the first weeb.
Definitely the first Irish weeb, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. That's bizarre. According to the legend, and he does present it as a legend, Matsui Castle is said to be constructed on a human sacrifice that was buried under the castle's walls. She was this beautiful girl who was fond of dancing, and she's referred to only as the maiden of Matsui. So whatever, castle walls were built on her. After the castle was built, a law was passed that forbid girls to dance in the streets of Matsui because nearby hill Oshiroyama and the castle, they would shake and shudder from top to bottom.
If someone was dancing?
If a girl was dancing.
And she definitely wasn't a volunteer then, was she?
volunteer is a... let me double check on that one for you.
Yeah.
In Lafcadio's own words, "Nothing concerning her is remembered except she was beautiful and very fond of dancing."
Okay. That's wild. Do people still dance there today? I assume they do. I'm sure there's somebody there doing a TikTok challenge, castle is
just shaking. It's a bit wild.
It's just funny because over here, well, obviously over there as well, but it's just like a form of torture, you know, that whole stereotype of bricking somebody up behind a wall kind of thing.
Yeah, I have no doubt that we have similar and if not worse.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Do you know the Eurotunnel, the one that goes between England and France?
Yeah.
The train that you can get under the sea. When that was being built, they used these two drill thingies, drill machines. And these two of them that were coming towards each other, basically. And when they kind of eventually their paths met, instead of getting them out of the tunnel, they just kind of dug a little bit to the right and they just stayed there. So they just dug themselves into the ground.
Wow. That's some dystopian Thomas the Tank Engine shit.
Yeah. So they're still there under the water.
Ready to keep on digging.
Yep. Not anymore. Just gotta switch off.
I thought you were gonna say that the Eurotunnel is built on the bodies of
oh my God.
Those who dug it.
I don't know if anyone died digging the Eurotunnel. Probably did, to be honest. But yeah, I guess that too then. I'm sure if you go to London, there's plenty of places with dead people in the walls.
7 people on the English side died during the construction of the tunnel.
0 French?
5.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. That's a lot.
This is this is from construction news. And is there the statistics make gruesome reading, but they are typical of the construction industry.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Just set Oshin off.
Yeah, stop. That's all, just what I need. No, I'm wrapping up on that one. Yeah, Jarrett and Dad.
That doll really is freaky though. I don't like that doll. I think we should add it to the Monster Mash though. We need to make an overall Monster Mash.
Oh, definitely. We do.
This one just grows hair at you. If we're giving everything anime style abilities though, the hair can grab you and strangle you and stuff though, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It can grow infinitely. Yeah. It can be controlled. Yeah.
That is top notch character design right there.
And then its mouth opens and bites you with its human teeth.
Yeah. I put that on the trading card.
Sure.
One of the places we'll be staying in Tokyo is near Toyama Park. I won't get into it now, but it's like allegedly the most haunted place in Tokyo.
Ooh.
So I'll try to investigate and I'll report back.
Take a Polaroid with you and take some Polaroid shots around.
I should. Yeah.
Do we have time to order you a Polaroid from the Patreon?
I have one.
Can we get you some film for it?
I think I have some film, but it's old film. It's been living in my fridge for a couple of years. No, that's
years.
Where you're meant to keep it. Yeah. I'm sure I'll bump into Polaroid film over there.
Sure. That'd be cool, though, if you got something.
Yeah, I will. I'll take it on all my cameras that I have.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for. If you like the podcast, suggest us to your friends and family. We'd appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories that you'd like us to read on the podcast, send them in to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any stories that you'd like us to cover, send us an email or shoot us a message on any of our social media, and we'll get back to you. Thanks for listening. You'll hear me next week. Until then, bye.
Bye.